Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another the steward said, "And you, how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, "Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones, and the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If therefore you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I was with the Archbishop the other night, and he started his homily with an old joke. And I thought it fits very well with our readings today, so I figure who better to plagiarize than the Archbishop. But the story goes like this. We'll be surprised by three things when we get to heaven. First, we'll be surprised by who we don't see there. Second, we'll be surprised by who we do see. And lastly, we will be most surprised because we are there. Because yes, all of us want to get to heaven, but not quite yet. And we say not yet because we're not sure if we're ready, if we really qualify to enter the pearly gates. And that's kind of what our gospel is about today. We heard a rather strange and procurable parable a moment ago, and it seems to end with Jesus praising a very dishonest person. So what is it about the actions of the crooked steward that Jesus finds so good and invites us to imitate? To answer this question, we have to correctly understand the parable. The steward was without a doubt very dishonest, and he clearly squandered his master's property and was being fired because of that deceit and dishonesty. But it's important we understand what he did once that dishonesty had been discovered. Most of us may have presumed that when he brought in the debtors and reduced their bills, he was further cheating the master. But that's not the case. You see, in the ancient world, stewards made their money as a kind of commission. That was how they lived. And when the steward reduced the debtors' bills, he was not taking money from his master, but from his own pocket. He hoped that by giving back to the debtors some of his own wealth, that they would recognize his shrewdness and his generosity. And then, once he was fired, he hoped they would consider him a friend and maybe even give him a job. It was a risky move, but he was a child of the world, being driven by a purely selfish desire. Well, what is noteworthy about this dishonest steward is that he had the insight to really size up his situation. He realized that his only possibility for future security was to make drastic changes in the way he lived his life, and even to give away what he most desired. And it is that insight and that action that Jesus invites us to imitate. Like the steward, we too tend to be children of the world first, and then only secondly, and often with great reluctance, do we act as children of God. Jesus is challenging us today to honestly size up our own situation and make whatever changes necessary to achieve the security of the heavenly kingdom. And we must realize that the only way into the heavenly kingdom is to imitate that dishonest steward and make changes in the way we live. And that could mean, even for us, some drastic changes. And it may mean even giving up some of what we possess. We also just heard Jesus say, "You cannot serve both God and mammon." But what exactly is mammon? Mammon is material wealth or riches that some of us may sometimes unwittingly even come to worship as God. Money and possessions in and of themselves are neither good nor bad, but they become mammon when our pursuit of wealth and material things become a primary goal in our lives, leaving our faith in our God in second place. Oftentimes, we find ourselves more attached to mammon and the power and success it may bring than we even realize. Jesus also tells us plainly today that we cannot serve two masters. We will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. But how do we know if we are serving God or mammon? Let's ask ourselves a few questions. Let's say you get a Christmas bonus this year, maybe a couple $1,000s or maybe even more. What's the first thing you think of? Do you think immediately of what you can buy with it, what you can reward yourself with, what you can get that maybe you haven't been able to afford before? Seems like mammon. Or maybe you think of some way that you can use it in service to God and his church. Do you see it as an opportunity to do some further good or bless someone else because you've been blessed? Then it seems that maybe your heart is devoted to God. Or maybe you're a child or young adult. You get a card from your grandparents with $50 in it. And what's your first thought? Maybe to jump on Amazon or go to iTunes. Or maybe you're upset that they didn't give you even more. Mammon. Or did you open it and think, "Wow, I'm so grateful to have such great people think about me. God, what could I do with this?" Maybe your heart thinks right away of someone who's hurting or in need. And if generosity and thankfulness are the first thing you think of, then you have chosen God. But mammon also affects much more serious decisions that we make each and every day. If we are overly concerned about finances and material things, mammon can affect our decision not to have more children, or even to have or consider an abortion, or eliminate the possibility of adoption. Being focused on mammon will influence how we view immigration because of the cost involved in caring for those in need. The truth is, serving mammon affects all of our worldview, from politics to faith and everything in between. And recently, in our own church, we have seen how choosing mammon has hurt and destroyed so many lives, as some of our own cardinals, bishops, priests, and deacons were so focused on mammon that they allowed the selfish and evil desires of the world to control them. Countless times, each and every day, we make decisions based on our desire for mammon or for God. Today, Jesus is asking us to consider what affects those decisions, and then to imitate the dishonest steward and act prudently to find a way to reach our ultimate goal, And that goal for all of us as Christians should be the heavenly kingdom. My brothers and sisters, mammon cannot bring us peace, and it certainly cannot produce righteousness. A love of money, possessions, power, or status shows that we are out of balance with our relationship with God. If I ask for a show of hands right now from you, how many of you were wealthy? Very few, if any, would raise your hands. But if you feel mostly safe, have a home, clothing, and fresh water, then you are more wealthy than 90% of the people in our world. And in sacred scripture, Jesus tells us several times how difficult it is for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. My friends, we, all of us, are wealthy. And we struggle greatly with mammon. The truth is, we all have a choice to make at some point in our lives. We need to decide whether to choose God or choose mammon. We cannot serve both. And at some point, the chips will fall, our lives will be rocked, and our perception of security, independence, and power will come crumbling down. I pray that we all choose wisely. Then we should not be surprised to one day find ourselves and our friends standing at the heavenly gates. But ultimately, the decision is yours. Who do you choose? God or mammon?